All that you have desired.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Psalm 18. David had been on the run from King Saul. Ten years he was on the run from Saul, hiding and dodging him, running whenever he was surrounded by him, escaping from him, climbing the steep mountains to get away from him. And eventually God intervened and delivered him from the problem. The Philistines came in and fought against King Saul and forced him in the end to fall upon his own sword. He wanted his armor bearer to stab him, but he said, "No way. I'm not putting my blade into the king. That's risky business." So he couldn't find anybody that would kill him. There was no Kevorkians available. And so he simply fell on his own sword rather than to avoid capture, because if he was captured, he would be tortured. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 31, if you want to read about it. So the running was over. The hiding, the running, the fleeing was over. David's enemy, who was never David's enemy. David loved Saul. He never wanted to be Saul's enemy, but Saul saw David as his enemy. And now it was gone. Saul was dead, and the running was over, and soon David would become the king of all Israel, as God had promised. And during that time, David wrote this psalm in celebration of his deliverance from Saul, his deliverance from the 10-year trial. And the first thing he writes in Psalm 18 and verse 1, he says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." First thing he says is, I will love you. And it was through the difficulty and the hardship of 10 years that David went through that he learned to love God. He learned to love him through hardship. He learned to love him through 10 years of an intense trial. Without difficulty, or it is through difficulty that God is able to reveal himself. When we go through difficulties and hardships and things aren't going the way we planned, it's through those difficulties God is able to reveal himself. Without weaknesses in my life, then I wouldn't know God's strength. I wouldn't need it, so I would never know it. Without failure, I would never know his grace. If I never failed, some people think they never fail, but if you never failed, you'd never need his grace. And that's why sometimes people don't ever receive the grace of salvation, because they don't think they need it. You know, without failure, you would not know his grace. Without sin, you wouldn't know his forgiveness. You wouldn't know his mercy. So every inadequacy, every insufficiency, every failure, every weakness of man is really an opportunity to learn more about God. You can turn it around. It's not that it's good that you failed, but since you did, you can now learn something about God. You can experience something about God that you would not have been able to experience were you perfect. So we are not perfect, and we are learning things about God that even the angels, it tells us in the New Testament, even the angels watch us and learn from us to find out things about the God who created them through watching us in our weaknesses and failures, receiving grace upon grace. And they learn through watching us because, you know, we are a classroom to them because we're so weak and we fail so often. But every human inadequacy is the opportunity to learn more regarding the character and nature of God. Paul learned this, the Apostle Paul learned this in the New Testament. You remember in 2 Corinthians 12:9, when he concluded, he said, my grace, God told me, this is what Paul said. He said that God told me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is perfected in your weakness. He said, in your weakness, my power can be perfected, and my grace can be shed abroad more abundantly towards you in your failure. So then Paul concluded in that verse, he says, then most gladly then, I will boast in my weaknesses. It's good. I can't do it. That's my boast. I'm too weak. I can't do it. I'm not a public speaker. I don't know what to say to people. I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know how to raise these kids. I don't know how to have the perfect marriage. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. But thank God I do know the one who's going to help me through it. You see, that is a good place to be. It's not a good place if you simply conclude, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it, and then you quit. That's not a good place to be. And many people do that. They look at themselves and say, forget it, you're not the guy. You remember all through the Bible, we had Jeremiah do that to himself. We had Gideon do that. We had Moses do that. We had all through the Bible, we had people doing that same thing, evaluating themselves and saying, I might as well just quit before I even begin, because I'm unable to do anything that God might want me to do. But the positive thing is, if I can understand that all of my inadequacies, all of my weaknesses, and all of these things, inadequacy, weakness, everything leads to sin. That's the foundation of eventually sinning. But all of these things, we can flip them around and say, but God's grace can enable me. I can do all things through Christ. I can function the way God would have me to function. Not me, but Him. We can learn what Paul learned and what David learned. David learned to love God. He learned to love God in his life as he was on the run for 10 years. And he learned to love God not just with an affection, you know, the kind of love where it's just where you see little birdies and stars and everything and they're bursting and, you know, you have an affection for somebody. And usually you have an affection because they make you feel good. They say things and they do things that make you feel really special and give you little presents, and everybody loves presents, and they say sweet things, and you feel like, you know, you're smitten with this person because they're so sweet and they're so nice. And they say, you know, that's an affection. David's love for God went beyond affection. David's love for God was a conviction inside of him of putting God ahead of himself. That is the love proposition. I put God ahead of me. Jesus did it when he went to the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. I'm putting you, Father, ahead of me. I'm putting you first in my life. And that is, and Jesus demonstrated his love for the Father when he did that. It was more than affection. It's putting you ahead of someone else. Now, if you had a marriage like that, if hubby put his wife first and she put him first, you would have very few conflicts, because both would be bending over backwards trying to bless the other one. They'd both be the same thing in any relationship. If you put the other person first, if you put the world first, then you're going to be a soul winner, because God so loved the world. If you put the unsaved first, you're going to be an evangelist. If you put people first and you last, it's going to change every perspective you have in your life. But that's the love of God coming through you. But God, David's love for God meant, God, I put you first. I've been living in caves and outdoors for 10 years. I've been camping out for 10 years with no outhouses, 10 years and no running water, outdoors for 10 years, and I've learned to love you and put you first in everything. That's why he could say in Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. I don't need anything or want anything else in my life, just my relationship with him, because I've learned to love him. Song of Solomon 8 and verse 7. Chapter 8, verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. The waters are the waters of adversity, the waters of the enemy, because it says in Isaiah 59, 19, that the enemy comes in like a flood. He is like a flood. He is like the rushing water that just pulls everything into its current and drags it downstream. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when the waters are pushing against you, when all of that happens, many waters cannot quench love. Many trials, many situations, many pressures, a lot of stress, a lot of things going on in your life, but it can't quench the love you have for God. It's not going to stop you from putting God first in your life. It's not going to get you introspective and make you think of yourself first. It's going to make you think of God first, because you've got genuine love. Love that has been imparted to you by God and is in you, and it's the real deal. It is real, self-sacrificing, unconditional, agape love. And it's in the believer. When the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah 59, 19 lifts, and the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him, the standard is the standard of love. His banner over me is love. And that standard is what the Holy Spirit lifts up. And that means that I can't be stopped. I can't be stopped following God, because many waters can't quench love. The waters of temptation, the waters of trial, the waters of sickness, the waters of financial burden, whatever it is. I'm not going to quit. David learned this during the darkest times of his life, when he was on the run from Saul. In Psalm 18, verse 3, he said this. First he said, I love the Lord, in verse 1. Then in verse 3 he says, I'm going to call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And so shall I be saved from my enemies. That's my strategy. I'm going to pray, I'm going to praise, and God's going to do the delivering. The pangs of death surrounded me. At times I felt like I was going to die. It was such a terrible trial. And the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Ungodly people, the many waters, the ungodly people that were against him, the people that opposed him. The sorrows of Sheol, Sheol is the grave, surround me. The snares of death in front of me. In other words, in my heart, in my mind, there were times I wish I could just die.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L.